Welcome to the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help you find healing for your wounds, find hope in your despair, find intimacy in your loneliness, find refuge from the storms of life. Basically, to help you find a deeper walk with Jesus. He is the answer. And if there's one thing I know after having lived all these 59 years now is that my God wastes nothing, not my sorrows, not my wounds, not even my failures. Hi. I'm your host, Dennis Jernigan, and today I'm going to be talking about the healing aspects of worship and the story behind my song, Show Me Where It Hurts. This podcast is going to give you a bit of insight as to why I lead worship the way I do. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 begins with this simple prayer. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Let me read that again. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. Now, as a worship leader, that's a significant prayer to have in my arsenal of spiritual weaponry. Every believer should have that in their arsenal, as a matter of fact. The simple understanding that leading people to a prosperity of soul will lead directly to prosperity in not only other areas of their lives, but in their physical health as well, is mind-blowing. The word prosper in this passage literally means to have a successful journey. That's so cool. This is a very significant thought when used in relation to the healing of wounds through the process of worshiping God. Healing is a process. Healing is a journey. Now, because I've come through the healing of very deep emotional wounds in my own life, I tend to attract emotionally wounded people. When they hear my story, they tend to think, well, if God can heal Dennis Jernigan, then maybe he could heal me too. It is one of my responsibilities as a worship leader and as a minister of reconciliation in the body of Christ to share my story for that very reason. And by the way, we are all called to be ministers of reconciliation, and we are all called to worship God with our entire being. Yet how can we do that unless we open our entire being to the Father in honest confession? We find Jesus has something to say about honest confession in John 8:32 when he says, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Now, we all know that verse, and we can quote it all day long and never walk in freedom, though. We only get to freedom when we take the first step truth requires, and that is our own honest confession. So what is it that keeps people from confessing their wounds or confessing their sin? Fear. Fear of being shamed causes us to allow pride to keep us from being honest. What will people think if I confess my sin? Fear of more wounding causes us to not get honest about our wounds. Truth brings healing and freedom, and the first step toward truth is our own honest confession. Here's a great example of what I'm talking about, what I'm trying to explain. If we go to the doctor with a wound that we know is going to kill us, the first thing the doctor's going to do is ask us to show him where it hurts, right? To not do so out of fear of what someone else might think and to walk away from that encounter and die would be utter foolishness. Yet we do that all the time in the church. One of my greatest responsibilities in leading worship is to remind people that God is here whether they feel him or not, that he sees the things we think we hide and he loves us anyway. As I lead people to simply acknowledge the Lord's presence in spite of how or what they feel, I lead them as a shepherd leading sheep. This begs the question, do you know the needs of your flock? Well, who is your flock? For me, it's whoever I happen to be leading in worship, whoever I happen to be with. That's my flock. How about your family? How about your friends? How about your own soul? In a sense, we're to shepherd ourselves in many ways. David encouraged himself in the Lord, after all. Whenever I prepare to lead worship, I do not ask the Lord what songs I'm to choose. I really don't. I ask two simple questions. Father, would you give me a sense of what the flock needs right now? And the second question is this. Father, would you allow me to feel towards your sheep what you feel towards them? Once I've received his leadership and answer to those two questions, I then ask him which songs will lead the people to those places of having their needs met. Here's another way to put it. It's from Psalm 23. What pastures do they need to feed on today? The people I'm with, where do I need to lead them to drink today? Where's the place of restoring their souls? How do I present to them your righteousness in worship, Father? How do I lead them from fear to trust? How do I lead them from despair to hope? How do I lead them to comfort? How do I help them stop settling for the crumbs beneath the table of the king and sit boldly at the feast of your presence? what wounds need binding and anointing with the oil of your presence today, Lord? Just those are some of the questions I literally ask all the time. When I am preparing to lead worship for a group, whether that be in a large church or in my living room or just whatever, I select songs that accomplish the answering of such questions. And then I explain briefly why I selected certain songs that day and lead by example as I share honestly from my own needs and how the Lord used the song in my own life. By lifting up Jesus as the great physician and then explaining how to express my hurts and failures to him in complete abandonment and honest worship, the process of healing begins immediately as people sing the lyrics that cause them to take an honest look at their own needs. That's really what I do. And more often than not, after I sense the hearts of the people are ready, I remind them that relationship with God is a two-way street. Not only do we express our needs to him in song, but guess what? He expresses his love for us in song. Just read Zephaniah 3:17. It tells us that he rejoices over us with singing. Just read Psalm 32:7. He tells us that he surrounds us, literally surrounds us with songs of deliverance. And this is where the rubber meets the road for me as a worship leader. I remind the people I'm leading that Jesus asks us to be honest with him in our wounding. To do so brings about cleansing and healing and steps toward the light of his love. And I quell fear by reminding them of God's love for them, and while that we were yet sinners, Christ still died for us. And I crush shame by explaining the difference between guilt and shame. It's simple. Guilt is the understanding that I have done something wrong. Shame is the belief that I am something wrong. Let me say that again. Guilt is the understanding that I have done something wrong. But shame is the belief that I am something wrong. Jesus dealt with our guilt on the cross, and he bears our shame in the same way. To say we are something wrong is to tell God he has made a mistake when he made us. You and I are no mistakes, or we would not even be here. Because our God, my God, makes no mistakes. And no matter how far we have fallen, guess what? His love can reach just that far. Now, to give people the chance to receive this love in a practical manner, right smack dab in the middle of worship, I remind them that worship is an expression of relationship between father and child. We have just talked or sung to him in worship. Now it's time for us to receive a song of deliverance from him. Often I ask people to sit at this point of worship, but remind them to remain in a worshipful attitude because we're about to do something special, something holy. Because I've already sensed the needs of the flock I'm leading, I simply ask them to be honest with one another and give them the opportunity to be the body of Christ to one another. At times, I sense many are going through grief, so I'll very often ask those who are grieving the loss of a loved one to stand so I can sing over them a song of deliverance God has given me. Now, a song of deliverance is generally a song from Father's point of view that speaks to the need I am addressing in the body at that moment. I encourage the body to gather around those who stood and encourage them to lay hands on those standing and to pray quietly while I sing over their needs. Because I've been honest with my own story and needs, others feel free to be honest about theirs. That's just a fact. They'll get honest when they feel they're safe to do so. Now, before I sing, I always remind those standing to disregard me and to hear Father's heart for them. They know why they're standing. God knows why they're standing. But that's a great starting place for healing. If we never give people the opportunity to receive healing for their wounds, never give them the opportunity to be honest, we never do see really full release of worship, I believe. My belief is that if I lead people to healing and freedom, they will worship openly and freely in spite of me. I've had times when I've asked those who were contemplating taking their own lives to stand. On one such occasion, I was shocked to look up and find over 50 people standing in honest confession. That was a moment right there. Other needs I have sung over through the years include the parents of prodigal children, the sexually abused, those going through a divorce, those who feel they're not wanted, those struggling with depression, those facing financial crises. You name it, and I probably received a song of deliverance for it. Now I'm going to speak to worship leaders right here, and really we're all called to be worship leaders, and that's to point people to Jesus right wherever we are, just with our lives. But specifically to those who lead worship, as we know in the church. Worship leaders, remember this. Healing is a process. To help you better understand how to lead your people via worship through the process of healing, consider reading my book, Renewing Your Mind, Identity in the Matter of Choice, because I cover that extensively in that book. Now, do not be afraid to lead the people to honest confession. I guarantee this from having led worship for over 37 years now. You lead people to healing and to freedom, and worship will be the natural response. Now, I've said a lot in just a few minutes. Now I'd like to practice what I just preached. This song, Show Me Where It Hurts, is from my Father's heart to those in emotional, mental, spiritual, physical, or any kind of pain. It actually came to me from Father on June 19th, 2014, right before I was going to lead worship for a gathering of believers in Tulsa, Oklahoma. As a matter of fact, I was in physical pain. My shoulder was hurting and I was in need of surgery, and I needed to hear from God personally. And this is what I heard. And I want you to listen with your own heart from your own place of need and respond accordingly to the Father's heart. This is His heart for you.
Show me where it hurts, child. Let me see the wounding that is causing all this pain. Show me where you hurt, child. Pulling back the curtain where you hide it all away. Just show me where it hurts, child. I can see the things you hide and love you anyway. Show me where you hurt, child. It is in your honesty my truth will make a way. Let me touch your pain down deeply. See the secrets none have seen. I can feel your pain completely. I can wash away the hurt and leave you clean. I'll hold you in my arms until the painful night is over. Hold you till the pain releases. Peace is in my arms. I'll hold you in my arms until the painful night is over. I'll sing you through the night. Just rest your head here on my shoulder and pour your heart out to me. Pour your pain out to me. Let me hold the broken piece. Just pour your heart out to me, pour your pain out to me. I'll hold you till the pain releases. Peace is in my arms.
Father, I thank you that you know all our wounds, you know all our hurts, you know all our failures, and you love us right in the middle of those wounds and those failures. I ask you to show us how to be honest with you in the coming days, and how to confess our sins to one another, and how to receive healing for the wounds of our souls. In Jesus' name, amen. James 5:16 in the New American Standard Bible says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much." I just encourage us to be honest with one another. It really is, as they say, the best policy. Now, today's episode is brought to you by mpdesignsjewelry.com. At mpdesignsjewelry.com, you will find beautifully crafted, one-of-a-kind jewelry, or you can have artisan, my wife, Melinda Jernigan, create a special piece for that someone special in your life. And if there are certain areas of your life you would like me to address in these podcasts, please don't hesitate to let me know. Just send your request to mail@dennisjernigan.com. mail@dennisjernigan.com, and I'll consider whether or not we can address them for you. Thank you for joining me here on the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. If you'd like more information on me and my story or my music, just go to dennisjernigan.com. You can also follow me on Facebook. You can follow me on Instagram. You can find me on iTunes. And if you'd like an MP3 of the song Show Me Where It Hurts, just go to the store at dennisjernigan.com. And if you'd like to read more about healing and the process of healing, you can find a copy of my book at amazon.com. My new book, Renewing Your Mind, Identity in the Matter of Choice. Right there, you'll find it along with other books I've written. And once you've read the book, if you don't mind, go back to Amazon and leave a review. That really does help me. And while you're at it, consider leaving a review for this podcast here on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Your reviews help get the attention of others who might be ministered to, which leads me to ask you to share this podcast with others you think might benefit from it. Encourage them to subscribe to the Dennis Jernigan Podcast. That would mean a great deal to me. This is a simple way of helping me minister to the needs of others. Well, thank you again for joining me for today's podcast. And remember, God loves you, and so do I. Now go and be who Father says you are.